Well, today we're, of course, beginning a new year, but most importantly, we're beginning a new week. And as we begin each new week, this is the Lord's Day, and we are gathered together in the name of Christ on His day. And this was the day of the Lord's resurrection. And this is one of the things that, of course, we're commemorating or remembering as we gather together in the Lord's name on this day. We've just remembered his death and partaking of the Lord's Supper. We have the opportunity now to study more of His Word, to learn more of His will, so we can please the one that we're living for, the one who died for us and rose again, Jesus Christ, our Master, our owner. This morning we want to complete the study that we began last week about being in favor with God and man. And if you were here a week ago, or if you, I think we have it maybe posted on the website by now, I'm not sure, but anyway, if it's there and you heard it there, we studied about being in favor with God last week. The first part of this, we saw the example of Samuel, the prophet in the Old Testament. As he was growing physically, he was growing with favor, in his favor with God and man. That was 1 Samuel 2:26. The same is said of Jesus in Luke 2 and verse 52. As he grew in stature, he also grew in favor with God and man. That favor comes by keeping God's commandments. And we went through our study last week focusing on how we obtain the favor of the Lord and how we grow in favor with God, growing in grace, in the grace of God, as we are keeping the Lord's commandments, because that's the basis of it. As it will also be in our growing in favor with man, the kind of favor that the Lord gives. And that's actually our first point that we want to look at this morning, and that God is the one that gives favor. I mean, He's the one that will give us His favor when we do the things that we have to do, that He sets as conditions to obtain or win His favor. But He's also the one that will bless us with favor with men, when we also do the things that God has said that we must do in order to receive that blessing. So the Lord is the one that will provide the blessings of favor with Himself and with man when we do the will of God. We want to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, recognizing, as in this case, as it is in every case, when there is increase given spiritually, when blessings come, it ultimately will come from God. Of course, we know that every good and every perfect gift comes from Him in James chapter 1 and verse 17. Well, here in 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul was speaking about his work as an apostle and as a servant of the Lord, as one who was planting and watering in terms of his teaching and preaching the Word of God, he said in verse 6, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." If there is actually going to be increase, any good blessing, reward for any work, who's the one that ultimately is going to have to provide that? That will have to come from God, the source of every good and every perfect gift. Now what about favor with man? If we're to be in favor with other people, is that something that God would give as increase? Is that something that He would provide as one of these good gifts? And of course, that would be true. And we have examples of that in Scripture. And that we need to recognize this is not a miraculous thing for God to give us His favor when we keep His commandments. That's not a miracle. For God to give us as a blessing favor with men when we do His will, that's also not a miracle, but this is part of what God does in His work to give increase when we are doing the things that He commands us to do. Joseph is an example of one that God gave favor with man for. In Genesis chapter 39, verses 21 through 23, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Now, can God do that kind of work with us today? when we are seeking him as Joseph was. Can he give us favor with man? Well, here's somebody that obtained favor, not just with God, but with man. God gave that favor, but it was a reward or blessing for what Joseph had done. Was Joseph diligent? Was he faithful as a steward of God? And did God then give increase to that and make Joseph's works to prosper? That mean that Joseph was getting a lot of money out of this? He was a prisoner himself. He wasn't gaining anything materially from this, but his works were prospering. God was blessing his works and giving him favor with the one who was running the prison. Now, ultimately, of course, God worked in Joseph's life and had him to come to the attention of Pharaoh himself. And then eventually, of course, he became Pharaoh's right-hand man and became the governor of Egypt under only Pharaoh himself. But God gave Joseph favor with this man and with many others because of what Joseph did and his diligence and faithfulness. And God made his works to prosper, spiritually speaking. Well, we see something similar with Daniel, the prophet, in chapter 1 of the book of Daniel. When Daniel himself was taken as a captive by the Babylonians and was carried over to the land of Babylon, he and the others of the royal seed, as Daniel was, and in chapter 1 and verse 8, when they were bringing food to Daniel and the other young men of the royal household, of course, the Babylonians were not following the commandments that he gave to Israel concerning their diet and what was clean and unclean and what they could and could not eat. And they would bring this food and drink to them. And Daniel purposed in verse 8, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So here Daniel was seeking to keep God's commandments. And is God going to reward his faith in God and his determination to keep the commandments of God by making it possible for him to have this request granted of the one that was in charge of him and the others? In verse 9, it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs." And it goes on to tell us how he granted his request there and blessed Daniel in the way that he also had blessed Joseph before him. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego grew strong on the pulse and water that were brought to them by their request. And so here again, God is the one that brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the one over him. But it was as a reward, again, for his faith and his obedience to God. The nation of Israel. That was something God had prophesied to Abraham, their father, back in Genesis 15, 13, and 14. God foretold that they were going to be in bondage in a land, of course it was Egypt, for 400 years. And then he said he would deliver them, and when they did, they would not go out empty-handed, but they were going to go out with great substance. That was something God had promised to Abraham there in Genesis 15, 13, and 14. Well, after the time had passed and it was time for God to fulfill that promise and that prophecy, through Moses, he repeated it in Exodus chapter 3, 21 and 22. He says, "And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it will come to pass that when you go, you will not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And you shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall spoil the Egyptians." So here was God's will to bring this about, what he had foretold to Abraham so long before. And in chapter 11, in verse 3, and then chapter 12 and verse 36 is when it ultimately came to pass. But we can see that God was working there with the nation of Israel to give them favor with the Egyptians to bring this about. So we could look at some other examples like it, but does this not show us that this is part of God's blessings for his people, that he can give us favor with man when we are seeking God to accomplish his will and keep his commandments as we have been taught to do? We should also, first and foremost, when we're considering being in favor with other people, that we are to be in favor with God's people Now, this is the right kind of pleasing men, to please God's people. Romans chapter 14, let's turn over there. Romans chapter 14, and we want to start looking at verse 13. Here in this chapter, in this context, he's speaking about strong versus weak brethren and some of the differences that can occur in understandings between those who are stronger than others. And of course, there will be situations like that in any congregation as you have a variety of years of experience and being Christians. You're going to have those that are older and have been in Christ for a long time. You're going to have those that are newer to the faith. And there will be some differences in level of growth and in understanding with those inherent differences that are there. And sometimes some of the weaker ones, they may have a conscience about certain things. And in this case, in Romans 14, he speaks about some that thought it was wrong to eat certain kinds of meat. Well, would that violate God's will or a commandment of his not to eat something? No. And in that case, the ones who understood that, who were stronger and understood that this was not something that would be wrong to eat, they were commanded not to despise the ones who did. And so also they were told not to be a stumbling block to them. And we want to start reading in verse 13. He said, "Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Verse 1 of chapter 15, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Is it right for us to seek to please and be in favor with our fellow Christians to try to do what is then best for them spiritually? We need to be thinking about others and seeking to please, especially our brethren, in this way, to be able to do what is good for them spiritually speaking. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul described his efforts in trying to seek to win others to Christ. So we see this extends, we certainly need an honor to prefer one another, but beyond that, we also need to think about pleasing men, to be in favor with men, that is something that God could use then to help us to convert others to Christ. So is it important? Is it really something that we should be concerned about to be in favor with men? If we're going to influence our brethren and be used by God to help our brethren, yes, that's important. If we're going to be used by God to bring others to Christ, if we are somebody that people are going to have, if we have no favor with them, are they going to be inclined to look at us, to listen to what we have to say, or to be a means of influencing them? If we have no favor there. But if God gives us favor with them and they're pleased with us, will they consider our example or the things that we may say to them about the Lord Jesus and his ways? So this is something that is important, extremely important, which is why we have the example that we do, especially of Christ and being in God's favor and God giving him that, and how God used that for much good for his glory. 1 Corinthians 9, here's what Paul was doing, verses 19 through 22. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So this was what Paul would do. Now, does that mean he would break some commandment of God? Would he go and participate in some evil in order to have favor with ones who were doing the same kind of evil? Of course not. He was under law to Christ. So he continued to obey the Lord. But would Paul be considerate of others and who they were? And then was he willing to take measures to try to gain their favor so that he could teach them and try to win them to Christ? He said that's what he did. And of course, the Lord blessed him with favor in the same way. Chapter 10. He continues to speak about this, starting in verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. Now, he would not do anything unlawful, but just because it may have been legal for him to do that as a Christian, would there be times where he would deny his own liberty and for the sake of the souls of others? Well, that's what we were saw in Romans chapter 14. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. What was he thinking about? Edifying others, building up his brethren, doing what was good for others, to please them for their edification, so that they would be saved. He says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Why is it important to have favor with men? Verses 32 and 33 bring it down to that bottom line. To give no offense to anyone, as we're seeking to please others, not for our own profit, but for their profit, that they might be saved. That's what the goal is overall. Now, how do we not do that, or in what way would it be wrong to seek to please men when it is not for the Lord, for their sake, so that the Lord could save them, but when it is for another reason? For example, to seek to have their favor, to have their glory, not just their favor. That would be something that would be wrong. 1 John 2:15 through 17 tells us, if we love the world and the things of the world, that the love of the Father is not in us. And he says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the world, but is of the Father. Well, that pride of life, what about having the glory of men for ourselves? Would that be part of the things of the world? Yes. If we are seeking that, then that becomes our reward, and we have no reward from God, from our Father in heaven. Matthew 6, 1 through 18, we won't read all of that now, but he gives the examples of the way those leaders of the Jews, those Pharisees, the way they were giving their alms, praying, fasting, everything they were doing were to be seen of men, which of course is exactly what he said in Matthew 23, 1 through 12 about them. All their works they do for to be seen of men. And Jesus said they had their reward. It was the glory of men. It was not from God, though. They were seeking to please men, to have man's glory and praise. Now, that's wrong. That's not what we were seeing there in 1 Corinthians 10. As Paul was seeking to please men in all things for their good, so that they might be saved. That would be for God's purpose, so God would be glorified. As he said in verse 31, do all to the glory of God. But if it's for our own glory, and we're seeking to please men, that is wrong. And we're told not to do that. Jesus didn't receive glory from men. We are told that we are not to do that either. John 5, verse 44, Jesus asked, how can you believe, ye that receive honor, literally glory, one from another? Well, there were a lot of applications of that and what not to do. in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 concerning the way that Paul preached. Now, here's the same one that said he was seeking to please men for their good, to their edification, so that they could be saved for God's glory, is also the same one that says here in Galatians 1 and verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Well, is that a contradiction to what we were reading from him in 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10 a moment ago? Of course not. Different situation, different motivation. Was he going to adjust his preaching and preach what would please men to receive man's praise and glory? No, he was not going to change what he should be doing in terms of obeying the commandments of God. Can we change what we are following of God's will, or what we're preaching and teaching of God's will, in order for people to like us? Now, that would be a completely different situation. Luke chapter 6, 22 and 23, Jesus, in the Sermon on the Plain, taught about this situation and said, "Blessed are you when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." Now, when we preach the truth, we have to preach it in love. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says. So again, we're not trying to preach this truth in a way to try to make people angry, to try to upset them to where they won't listen. If that's our approach, we're approaching it the wrong way and not obeying God's commandments about preaching with gentleness and meekness and all long-suffering and doctrine. But when we preach the truth in love, in the right way, and then some reject that truth and then they persecute us for that, is that our fault? And is that a problem that we're going to then have with God? No, he says he will bless us for that and reward us for enduring persecution for righteousness' sake then. In fact, he warns us in verse 26, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So are we going to have favor with all men, everybody? Is everybody going to like us? Is everybody going to like what we do and what we say? No, those that hate the truth are going to hate us when we follow that truth and speak that truth. But when we are seeking that to follow that truth and preach that truth in the way that God has said, for those that might be considering the Lord and his ways, can God give us favor with them so that we're trying to please them in the right way for God's glory so that they can be saved? Can God reward us in that? And of course he can. That's what we're seeing here. Well, again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, very similar to Galatians 1 and verse 10 in this point that the Apostle Paul was making here again. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4 through 6, he says, "But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." So being put in trust with the gospel, we need to speak that gospel, not as pleasing men, but God. That is, we're not going to adjust what we teach in order for people to like us and leave out certain truths. Now, that happens a lot. And unfortunately, we'll see elders and preachers that are willing to go down that path. They'll stay away from certain truths and won't preach on certain subjects because they want to be popular with the people. They want the glory of the people and their money too. But that's not the right thing to do. And if we're doing that, of course, we're going to have the Lord against us. But when we are teaching the whole counsel of God in the right way, as Paul did, of course, he describes that's what he did in Acts 20. If we do that, can the Lord give us favor with those that would love the Lord and would consider his ways? Yes, that is a blessing that he would give us then. In fact, to this point, when we are really in favor with men, and especially with each other, it should reach a point where we can rebuke and correct and exhort others, and God still use that for others' good. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, He says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Well, there again, that's how we should speak. But we need to know how we ought to answer every man. And when it is appropriate to give an answer, we need to do it in that right way with grace and have our words seasoned with salt, that can minister grace to the hearers. Be always with grace, that is with favor. See, God can use our words and give us favor with men so that they would listen to those words, even when those words are correcting them for their errors. But is everybody, does that mean everybody is somebody that we should seek to correct or tell when they have a fault? Well, we have to remember also Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9, as the Lord warned us there and taught us by his wisdom not to speak wisdom in everybody's ears. He says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. And remember Matthew 7, Jesus told us not to cast our pearls before swine or to give that which is holy to the dogs. We do need to be ready to give that correction, though, to those who would be willing to receive it. And God can give us favor with them so that they would listen to that. The weak need that strengthening. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. He that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Is everybody going to receive the words in the same way? A scorner will not, and one who hates righteousness will not, but a wise person will love us if we walk in this way of understanding and we give reproof when it is called for. And that's why he says in chapter 27 and verse 5 that open rebuke is better than secret love. I mean, if we love somebody, but we keep that to ourselves and we won't help them when they need it, is that really loving them? But if somebody does need help spiritually, and we provide that, and that's going to involve at times us teaching them to change their ways. And if we do that in the right way, can the Lord give us favor with them so that they will listen to those words? And of course, the answer to that is yes. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. We need to think about this from both sides. We need to extend our favor to those who would try to help us, that are seeking our good, and that we would not turn against them when somebody's trying to help us out. Now, David in Psalm 141 had the right approach to those who would help him. Of course, he was strong himself, a man after God's own heart. Was it, well, a one-way street with David? Was he only somebody that taught or influenced others, or was he willing also to consider what others would have to say to him and how they might help him? And of course, the answer to that is also yes, as we see here in Psalm 141, 3 through 5. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head. For yet my prayer also shall be in their calamities. So would David appreciate and have favor to those that would try to help him when he needed it, even if he were in some kind of wrong? That was his kind of heart. But we see that's also the role we need to have on both sides, that we would give that correction in the right way to those who need that, and God can give us favor with them. To use that for their good, but also to receive the same. In the end, we turn to Romans chapter 12 now, verses 17 and 18. This is a good commandment to guide us in dealing with everybody. Romans 12, 17 and 18 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Well, we do need to be at peace with everyone as much as does lie in us. Now, to compromise the truth doesn't lie within us. That is beyond what lies within us or should lie within us. But to follow that truth without compromise in the right way and to teach it, then we need to seek to be at peace with all men and have God to bless us with favor with them. We need to then also provide what is honest, what is good in the sight of all men. And if something is going to be against what people would receive or accept, and if it's not going to be in violation of God's will, then I mean, why do we mow our grass? Is that fun to do? Why not just say, well, who cares? Let's let it grow 6 or 8 feet high. But what kind of influence are we going to have on our neighbors if we have our lawn looking like that? And we can think of lots of little things like that. But we need to conduct ourselves in a way that God would give us favor with others, that he could use us as a tool to influence them to their good, for their own salvation, to God's glory, not ours. We need to have favor with God and man by keeping the Lord's commandments and doing his will. This morning is an opportunity again for you, if you've not yet become a Christian, to obey the gospel of Christ, to repent and be baptized into him for the remission of your sins. If that is your need, we're encouraging you to come forward at this time. If you are a Christian, if you need to come back to the Lord, we're also encouraging you to repent and come back to him now at this time. So anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you please come right now while we stand and sing.